It's March 2019 now. The book you're about to hear, Thinking About It Only Makes It Worse, was published in October 2014. But the book itself was already a work of presumptuous hindsight, compiled from columns that I'd written for the Observer newspaper since November 2008. 6 years ago then, over 10 years ago now. And looking back has knocked my confidence, hence all the expressions of inadequacy to the superbeings of the future and Henry VIII. I realise, looking back, that when I put this book together, I was only looking back. I'm looking back on myself looking back, and I realise that exclusively looking back was a mistake. I needed to look forward. I stand here looking back at my former looking back self, and I want to scream, "Look forward!" sometimes. And yet as I do it, I'm exclusively looking back. I'm not learning from the past the key lesson of not looking exclusively to the past in order to learn lessons. It's very disconcerting. But as I say, looking back, it's like I thought 2014 was the end of something. That bit of human time had come to an end, I thought, so it was safe to start reflecting on it. And by reflecting, I basically mean moaning. There'd been the credit crunch that roughly coincided with my first columns, a huge banking crisis, an existential crisis for currency itself, and a predictable consequent recession, and a predictable consequent period of badly managed and rhetorically meretricious governmental austerity. So what I was focused on doing was talking about all the problems with that. But it's ridiculous, looking back. The shit may have been thrown at the fan, but it hadn't yet hit it. It was mid-air, and I was writing as if it was going to hover there permanently. So that's what I was moaning about. Look at this annoying hovering turd. That's not very nice. But it wasn't the end of the world. It was just one hovering turd, not excrements sprayed on everything. Once excrements sprayed on everything, the single hovering turd seems comparatively tidy. Similarly, the political uncertainty and weirdness of the last 2 years makes the austerity government of David Cameron seem like halcyon days of stability. And who knows how comparatively lovely the terribleness of now may seem if things continue to go wrong at anything approaching their current rate. I suppose, to continue the shit-hitting-the-fan metaphor, which I know you're all absolutely rooting for me to do, this time of there being a coating of poo on everything will seem comparatively nice when we're all dying of cholera from having accidentally and repeatedly ingested it. There, metaphor holds. Look, I'm anti-Brexit and anti-Trump. If you think that the bureaucratic and democratic failings of the EU, which I won't for a moment attempt to deny, mean that the UK is better off abandoning the close political and trading partnership we, at time of reading out, still currently enjoy with some of the most wonderful countries on earth, then you and I should avoid talking about politics. And you should learn a bit more about the history of Europe. Because one of the massive failings of the EU referendum campaign is that nobody seemed to point out that, with the EU as it is, the idea of France and Germany going to war seems absurd. They might have spats about regulations, but the idea that they'd have a go at invading each other with the most devastating weaponry known to humankind has become cartoonishly daft. That is the achievement of NATO and the EU, and of the two, the EU, in my opinion, deserves the greater credit, because trade has always been the surest route to peace. Alliances are a stick discouraging war, but trade is a potentially limitless number of carrots for peace. I'm sure there's an EU carrot mountain, and that definitely proves my point. So successful has the EU been at discouraging wars between France and Germany that hardly anyone bothered to mention it during the whole referendum campaign. It's like having a debate about the legal requirement to have fire extinguishers in public buildings without anyone on either side of the debate mentioning the possibility of fires in public buildings. Despite the huge popularity of Hitler as a subject for historical TV shows, despite the massive fondness the British, particularly the pro-Brexit British in fact, have for banging on about the Second World War, no one reminded the electorate that France and Germany fighting each other is, of all of history's many and varied phenomena, the one that has come closest to destroying human civilization. Climate change is undoubtedly going to give it a run for its money, but wars between France and Germany are currently well ahead on points. And by points, I mean murderous calamities. It really seems silly now. They're such comparatively small countries. Lots of us go on holiday there. They're really nearby. Their leaders are always standing next to each other on platforms in conference centres, like the Governor of the Bank of England and the head of the CBI. The idea that they might head back to their respective capitals and prepare for battle seems as absurd as if they suddenly put on chef's hats and started hurling pies. It's off the agenda, because now the only sort of things that are metaphorically on the agenda are the sort of things that can be on